Father, we want to thank you for the way in which this story is recorded for us, demonstrating Jesus' authority over the ability to forgive sins. Father, we praise you that Jesus had that authority among men. We thank you that there is a recording of his life called the Gospel of Mark. And we praise you that there have been 60 people who heard about this past Tuesday and 40 who have committed to coming this coming Tuesday. May there be many more. Lord, what we want to do is introduce people to Jesus. We simply want the truth about his life to have the effect that you intend it. We ask for the anointing of your Spirit to do so. It appears you have already begun to move. There's no doubt. How could we expect no one to say no to coming on the 25th, except two people who already work on Tuesday nights? Lord, would you continue to move? Would you continue to bless our efforts to shine forth Jesus in the glorious gospel and in all of the truth about who he is? And Lord, I pray that we would be blessed as we invite, as we talk about you. Give us occasion. Let us be wise. I pray you'd fill us with your Spirit. We cannot do this apart from you. And Lord, we want to introduce people to your Son. So would you please pour out your Spirit on us to do just that? And Father, if there are those of us in this room this morning who need to hear these words, your sins are forgiven, give us ears to hear. There might be those among us who have never heard these words from Jesus and need for the first time to realize that only through him can sins be forgiven, and that you grant that forgiveness to all who ask. If that's the case, then I pray that you would open their heart to receive the gospel. And Lord, there may be those of us who have been walking with you who yet once again need to be stunned by the reality of your grace and your mercy. So Lord, I ask you, do what only you can do in our hearts. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know what we need today on this day. And I ask that through your Spirit, you would bring about the effect that you have planned. Thank you for being a sovereign God who controls everything from snow to our ability to receive forgiveness of sins. Lord, we bow before you and want to worship you this morning. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. So I've been praying about what it is that we're going to focus on during these days, and it seems good to me for several reasons that as a body of believers, we will land in the Gospel of Mark for the next 7 or 8 weeks and just kind of follow the progression that Christianity Explored goes through, which hits about 2 or 3 chapters each week. So we're going to do that as a high level. We won't cover the exact same material, but we will live in the Gospel of Mark. And I think that's good for several different reasons. But the plan also is at the end of that, you heard David mention those questions. And I'm going to take the top 7 or so, the most frequently asked of those questions, and then take one each week that we will be able to offer a biblical answer to those questions. What does God have to say to any of those questions? So that will be after this series in Mark, we'll move into answering those questions. And who knows, maybe it'll be a good way to connect people who have come to Christianity Explored to come and say, I'd like to hear the answer to that question. I'd like to hear what you might say about that issue as a church, what you believe about what God's word says. So please be praying to that end, that folks would, along the way, some of these questions are naturally going to come up. And we're going to have opportunities, I hope, in the discussions that follow Christianity Explored and opportunities for relationships that are made for us to offer some biblical answers. And we want people during these weeks to have the freedom to ask. That's what we want. We want people to have a safe space for them to say, I don't understand this. And to lay out the concerns of their hearts. And hopefully God will use those instances to speak into our lives. So a couple of reasons why Mark? I ask myself, why would you want, Lord, us to do the Gospel of Mark? And there are a couple of 3 reasons that sort of come to my mind. And first off is, I think often it is good that we are reminded of the simple truths of the powerful reality of Jesus' life. Right? We sometimes, I believe, as Christians, can get distracted into looking at God's word as merely some book that we can dissect the words and categorize into some information retrieval system, rather than experiencing God's word as a conversation with him. Right? The Bible is not an ancient, dead book. It is living and active and powerful. And so the reality of the unfolding of Jesus' life again and again should have impact on us. So may we be on guard against thinking, you know, I've read Mark, I know everything that's there. I've been there and done that, and that's good. Because you might be tempted to think that. And I ask that you would view Mark, and I'm praying, read through it. The organizers of Christianity Explored encourage every table leader to read through the Gospel of Mark at least twice before the study even begins, so you will know the material. So don't view this time in Mark as I know everything that's there, and so I'm good. It's kind of silly to even say it, but that would be kind of like me saying, well, you know, I've spent a lot of time with my wife. We've had lots of conversations about lots of things. I pretty much know what she's thinking, so there's no need for me to talk to her anymore. We don't view the Bible as material to be consumed or as so much as a person to commune with. God speaks to our hearts through his word. That's my desire, that we would look at this journey in through the Gospel of Mark as a kind of communing with him once again, to go back and read the wonder of this lovely Savior, this guy, this person who we call Jesus, who we call Lord. And so I pray that we would be once stunned again through moving through this book and just looking at his power. Pray that going through these details of Jesus' life would not be boring, that his life would be fascinating, because these people today we saw as they stood with Jesus were amazed. And if his spirit is real and alive, we should find our souls welling up within us in awe and wonder as we focus our mind and heart on the Gospel of Mark. So that's the invitation for one reason why I think it would be good. As us, as a body, as a believers. Secondly, it seems to me it would be good for us because if our guests are moving through the Gospel of Mark, is it not good for us too to move through the Gospel of Mark? You know, there is an amazing truth that shared commonality engenders a kind of community spirit that happens among people who don't even know each other. We see this in various ways. The first thing that came to my mind as I was thinking about this is you've seen the little window decals on Jeeps, right? Everybody who owns a Jeep, a lot of people who purchase Jeeps, right? It's a Jeep thing, and the rest of you just wouldn't understand, right? All of us who own Jeeps, we know what we're talking about. You guys, you don't have a clue. Right, there's this kind of commonality or community that happens with people who have or experience common things. We see this also in motorcycles. If you ever watched motorcyclists as they drive down the road, they give this low-handed wave. You know, at first, the first couple times I saw that, I thought, somebody's pointing at something. What is he pointing at? And I realized, they're waving at each other, right? They don't even know each other. Clueless about who this is, but motorcyclists will wave at one another. Runners do the same thing. I was out yesterday running, and I passed probably five or six people running, and most of them were on the other side of the road. Everybody waves at each other. Runners wave. I don't know if you ever experienced this. Do you mall walkers do this too? Some of you wave at each other as you pass by? No? Okay, Vic is saying yes. All right, it happens. It's very funny because as one woman was coming towards me, we were both on the same side of the road, and we only had, you know, with all the snow, there's just a very small space to run. The sidewalks are covered in snow and ice, and it's dangerous to run on the sidewalk. So I was running on the road. This lady was coming towards me, and as we got within eyesight of each other, this big smile comes on her face, and she laughs, and she says, "Way to go!" She holds up her hand, of course, and I give her a high five, and there we go. It happens. So if we are on the same journey, will there not be some kind of inherent community that we will experience with our guests? And Andy said it, keep inviting. It's not too late. If you have been so keyed up on the 11th that you have forgotten, there's still time for people to come. We have 7 more weeks to invite people to. Or eight, if you add the one weekend away. So we have plenty of time to be on the same journey. So keep inviting, keep thinking about people that you can have to come, because I think this will allow us to experience a kind of friendship and a community spirit that will give us a greater way to speak into one another's lives. And lastly, if we're reading along, we're going to know what the material is. We're going to be able to talk and share. Conversations will be easier. Our minds will be thinking in the same direction. So it will be preparatory and help us to be equipped for if talking with our neighbors that you invite. Because they're going to ask you, what are you doing? And you can say, we're going through the Gospel of Mark. And this is where we are. So I'm praying that would be the case. Because this is good. This is good news. And Jesus in Mark chapter 2 shares some incredible good news to this poor paralytic that we see who happens into his life. And Mark gives us an overview of what kind of transpires at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. You know, he grew up in Nazareth, but as his intention in starting a public ministry and moving away from not being a carpenter any longer, he moved from Nazareth to Capernaum, about a 10 or 12 mile journey. And some people think that he set up base in with Peter and Andrew, who lived in Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if many of you have traveled to the Middle East. There is an understanding that perhaps we know where Peter's house is and can have the ruins right exactly where Jesus served. And excavations have been done in that area to see, you know, what kind of houses would they have been like. They're very small houses. And there were a little village was unearthed and sort of exposed that most of these little houses are one room with a little courtyard and various walls inside that sort of separate living space inside, but they're very, very small. And so this house that Jesus is in, as we look in Mark chapter 2, we get an idea. This is cramped space. It's not very large. And it's probably had a roof that's supported by beams that may have been overlaid with tiles that then earth was put on top and grass sown to keep the rain off. But not very, very high up. Most of these houses were, the upper roof was used for various purposes, drying out wheat and plants and that sort of thing. So there's probably steps or a ladder that would have been up to the roof. But we see that Jesus has gathered in town, and when the word gets out that he is in town, people come and see. They want to be near Jesus. And I would pray we would be the kind of representatives of who Jesus is, that people would like to be around us, that people would enjoy our company, that we represent Christ in such a way that people are curious to get to know us and want to know what makes us tick. It thrills my heart to hear what Reuben shared, that there, on the part of his wife, is a desire to come. I want to come back. I want to keep learning. I want to know what Jesus is all about and what Christianity truly teaches. And so crowds gathered around Jesus. And interesting, what does he do? He, in verse 2, the very last sentence in verse 2, Jesus was preaching the word to them. Jesus was teaching them. There is a message that is necessary to share. And that's our desire, is that the message will be clear. And pray against all of the obscurity about what Christians are all about. Pray that we will be, this is why the Word of God presented so clearly is the goal of Christianity Explored. It's simply to say, here's the message of Christianity. Apart from every other preconception that we may attach to it, what's the message? And so Jesus is preaching to them. He's preaching the word. And as it turns out, four guys, and you often, I wonder what was the relationship with these four men who brought in a paralytic. They have a man who cannot walk, who needs help. He needs to be carried everywhere. And Jesus brings this man in. There's a crowd. I mean, the guys bring this man into Jesus. And there's the room is full. It is our prayer that this room would be just as full as this is described here. That tables, we're going to need every table we have in order to make, to give space for people to gather around and hear the gospel. That's exciting to me. I pray that it's exciting to you, because some of us are praying exactly that. This room would be full. I was praying we couldn't use the basement. I wanted us to be able to fill this room. It's a lot of work, but that's okay. I think it will be well worth it. The house is full. And so what do you do when you face obstacles? Do you give up? Some of us do. We collapse instantly because we're just looking for a way out. These four men carrying their friend come and see a wall of obstacles, a wall of bodies that preventing them from getting to Jesus. I wonder if they could hear him teaching and preaching just outside the window as they're trying to figure out, what do we do? We got to get him into Jesus. He has to see Jesus. So somebody has a great idea of going upstairs. Let's just tear the roof off. To me, I don't think that would ever enter my mind. I can't imagine destroying someone else's property. And yet, it's worth it. This is the length that they go to. They're saying, we'll put it back, we'll fix it, but we've got to get him face to face with Jesus. They know Jesus has the solution to his problem. And so, up they go, carrying him. Can you imagine the difficulty of that? I mean, Ian and I had a hard time, climbing up on this roof when the new air conditioner was being put in. But you imagine carrying somebody with you and four of you trying to get up? It's quite a challenge, but up they go. They're willing to overcome every obstacle, tear off the grass, the earth, the move back the tiles. I mean, Jesus is preaching and all the roof is caving in. And yet you look up and down comes this guy. A person being let down on a bed in front of Jesus as he was teaching. This is exactly what we're trying to do in Christianity Explored. We're trying to people to get them in front of Jesus. We want people simply to get face to face with Jesus. That's exactly what we're doing. So folks, don't let obstacles keep you. Overcome. Think of a new way. If somebody says no, pray through, Lord, how can I get them to say yes? Don't give up praying. Just because someone says no, don't immediately give up. We've heard testimony of one person who told his wife, nope, I'm not going to go, and he was there Tuesday night. Right? Things change. Don't be tenacious spiritually in prayer for getting people to be able to be in front of Jesus. For that's our desire. That was what these men wanted to do. That's what we are desiring to do. And look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And the phrase that struck me was, when he saw their faith. I couldn't help but wonder, does anybody see our faith? Right? These four men have a faith that is active. They believe Jesus has the ability to give something that this man's needed, and they're willing to go to any length to get him there. Jesus saw their faith. Does anybody see your faith? Is there action in your life which causes people to know what your faith is? Are we able to live out an active kind of faith? We live in a culture that would tell us it is better to keep your faith to yourself. It's better to be quiet. Let that be the private realm of your life. Don't show your faith. That's intrusive. Folks, we need to be like these brothers who have a faith that is visible, that is seen by people. Because what do we see? Jesus responds to this. You could ask the question, whose faith do they see? Well, what does he see? He sees four guys dropping down a bed right in front of him. And the paralytic is not doing anything except lying there. The faith of these four men willing to move into action is what Jesus sees. We're not told that the paralytic has any faith at all. He may, we're just not told that. And yet here, these four guys come in and get this man right in front of Jesus. Jesus saw their faith and he responds. And what does he say? Sweet words, isn't it? Verse 5. Son, your sins are forgiven. Well, if you're like me, you think, Is that really what he needs? I mean, good grief, isn't it apparent? He doesn't really need forgiveness of sins, does he? He needs some help with his legs. And he's not even asking for forgiveness of sins. And I think some of our friends who will come to Christianity Explored need what they're not even asking for. They have a very deep need to have their sins forgiven. And that might not be the question they're asking. So for us, when we do have the questions, there were 65 of them that were submitted. When you get those questions, we have to know that underneath that is a question that's not even being asked. There's a question about how can I have my sins forgiven? This man is not asking that question. Our guests may not be asking that question. And yet that's where Jesus wants to go. That's where he wants the transformation to happen, is in the cleansing of the soul. His primary need is not new legs. It's a fresh cleansing, purifying effect of the gospel on the soul. You ever need that? In your life, do you ever just need Jesus just to come once again and just wash over you and say, I'm dirty. I'm caught up in the world. I'm all mucked up. Can you come and wash and cleanse me? And that's what Jesus says. Son, your sins are forgiven. And notice, he didn't even ask for it. Jesus just blurts this out in public, which, by the way, is rather politically incorrect, isn't it? Who wants to mention somebody else's sins in public? I mean, you can get thrown in jail for that, depending on what sin you want to talk about. Different parts of the world. Here, Jesus is explaining your sins are the greatest need that you have. We can't fail to call sin a sin. We need to speak the truth in love and let the Holy Spirit do his work, because that's the greatest need. It is sin which keeps us from God. So Jesus' words here are the most important reality in all of our lives. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." Jesus forgave sins. He removed sins. Why? It's not just to have your sins removed, but it's so that you can enjoy communion with God. That's what keeps us from the very person who created us, is our own sinfulness. Those sins need to be washed away, forgiven, cleansed, taken care of, paid for, before communion with God can be enjoyed. Let that be your prayer. As we share the gospel, Lord, help people to come to realize their need, because you can't go in through the front door of saying, you're a sinner, you need to be taken care of. That probably is not going to work. In some cases, it might. We need the wisdom of the Lord to know that. But I think in most cases, there are other questions that are going to be answered before we ever get to that one. So as we move our way through Christianity Explored, we need to be very patient with people, right? Spiritual rebirth takes time. It's a process. So we're on a little journey. I hope we're inviting people to come along, and we'll see that there will be new birth at the end. But Jesus is taking care of sins, because that's what allows us to have communion for the Lord. And so here he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I wonder, have you internalized that in your own life? Some of you here, I look at you, and you've been walking with the Lord for a long time. The wonderful, sweet kindness of this phrase, let it land on you again. Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. You hear the words of Jesus spoken to you to say, all the garbage in your life can be washed away. Don't ever let that reality grow old. Don't ever become so familiar that wonderful truth is boring in our life, because it is precious to us to have our sins forgiven. And that's exactly what Jesus says. And he's the only person who has the authority on the planet to grant this statement. Matthew, look at the next couple of verses, 6 and 7. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like this? He's blaspheming, for who can forgive sins but God alone?" They're asking the right question. Why does Jesus talk like this indeed? Who on earth does Jesus think he is? This is Mark's point. He's illustrating Jesus does have the authority to forgive sins. And I ask you a question. What other religion has someone who has the expressed authority to forgive sins? What other person on the planet would have the audacity to claim the right to do this? Who is this guy? This is Mark's point. Who has the authority to do this? God alone. Why? Because sin is always a sin against God. First and foremost, it is an offense against him. And here Jesus stands before men saying, I have the authority to forgive sins. Only Jesus has that authority. And this is troubling to the scribes. They are very troubled at this. So they haven't spoken a word. They're thinking this in their hearts. And Jesus, look at verse 8. He immediately knows the answer. He perceives what they're thinking in their hearts. And he says, why do you question these things in your heart? So he's speaking directly to the scribes, those who are thinking this. And he says, which is easier to say to the paralytic? Your sins are forgiven. Or to say, rise up, take up your bed and walk. What's his point? Well, anybody can say your sins are forgiven. You can't. How are you going to verify that they actually have been? There's no way to know that for sure. But if you were to say to someone who cannot walk, rise up and walk, that's a much more challenging thing because we can verify whether or not that actually happens. And yet Jesus says, so that you may know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins, I'm going to say to the paralytic, rise up and walk. And what happens? What does he do? So what does that mean? The fact that Jesus said to this man, rise up and walk, and he does. Everybody knows nobody heals without the power of God, without the authority of God. No one commands a demon except him who has authority over him. And Jesus has already expressed, we saw this a couple of weeks ago, Jesus has power over demons. He has power over disease. He has authority to forgive sins. And this man gets up and walks in order to confirm that what cannot be seen, which is namely the forgiveness of sins, can actually be believed to be true because of what can be seen. There are a lot of things in our lives that we doubt. Don't ever doubt that Jesus has the authority or the ability to forgive your sins. When Satan comes at you saying you have no authority to presume to be a child of God, we can say, based upon what Jesus said, I'm trusting in his authority. That son or daughter, your sins are forgiven. And that's our prayer. We want everybody to know the goodness of that reality. We want every person that we come in contact with that would enjoy a meal, a fellowship, a kind of family experience around a table, to be able to know that their sins have been taken away and have been forgiven. And Jesus is the only person who has authority to make that claim. He's the only one. He's the only one who has died and risen again to prove that his sacrifice was acceptable. So may the Lord give us encouragement. May the Lord open up doors this week for you to invite people next Tuesday. Be thinking, who needs to know this? And I pray that you again in your own heart would be amazed that, yes, my sins have been forgiven. Because if you're excited about that fact, it will be easy to speak about it with other people. It will be easy to share that. And we heard wonderful testimonies of how that happened on Tuesday. So those are going to continue, that ability to continue. So please invite. Please let Gail know, gailmills@aol.com. And may the Lord grant to do something just like this, the response of these people. What's their response? They're staggered. We have never seen anything like this in our lives. Wouldn't it be sweet if that's what the Lord did among us in seeing people come to Christ over the next 8 weeks, that we would say, as a church, we've never seen anything like this in our lives. May the Lord do that and far beyond what we can even ask or imagine. Let's pray together. Jesus, we know we can do absolutely nothing without you. We have no authority. You have all authority. And yet you have entrusted to us the message of the gospel. You have given us an invitation to share the good news that sins can be forgiven. So, Lord, I pray that we would be carriers of this forgiveness this week. Would you allow us the joy of working with you to see new believers born into the kingdom of heaven? So pour out your Spirit on us. Remove timidity and fear and grant boldness for the sake of the gospel. Lord, give us a kind of endurance and perseverance that we would not give up at the first showing of any obstacles. For as David prayed, we will have an enemy who will oppose us and who continues to do so. But Lord, would you grant us the spiritual endurance to keep asking and to keep seeking in ways that are attractive to people and in ways that would glorify the name of Christ. May we see many people who would come to know the truth that their sins have been forgiven. So Lord, let us share that gospel hope with great joy. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you just